Here is your Radio Theater Channel weekly podcast. The RTC features only the best OTR on our live stream, where we also invite you to tune in and enjoy the Radio Book Channel and the RTC Music Channel, all found at oldtimeradiolisten.com.
Welcome to this week's program, and this time we're going to do a little detecting and some laughing, too. We'll start off with the first of our two detective shows, Let George Do It. The show is entitled The Ant Hill from 1950.
Personal notice, danger's my stock and trade. If the job's too tough for you to handle, you got a job for me, George Valentine. Write full details.
Standard Oil Company of California, on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and standard stations throughout the West, invites you to Let George Do It. The Ant Hill, another adventure of George Valentine.
Dearest Valentine, I am without doubt the ugliest man in the world.
Hey, wait a minute. Who is this?
However, I need your help or the man standing beside me will go crazy. Because, Mr. Valentine, I'm
Riley,
dying.
It's you, isn't it? Lieutenant Riley.
Yes, yes, it's me, and I'm the one going crazy.
All right, have it your own way. Only, what are you talking about?
Valentine, I've got a client for you. A little ugly stumblebum wants your help. A slot machine repair man, no less. He needs help, or at least he won't help me unless somebody helps him. Only he won't trust the police.
I don't blame him. You make so much sense.
Okay, then. Let's say I need your help. Sure, this little guy isn't much, but the idea
is... Riley, hold it, will you? You said this guy's dying?
Yeah. Police hospital.
The doctor gives him a day or two at the best. Can't operate, can't stop the infection.
From what, Lieutenant?
Oh, gunshot wounds, Miss Brooks. One gun, but all six shells. Happened in a dark alley. Whoever it was didn't want to miss him, I guess.
That little man must be tough.
Maybe. Or lucky or unlucky. He's one of those guys who's born to end up at the bottom of the pile, Valentine.
Then why are you so interested in him?
It's just possible that he can steer us all the way to the top of the pile. His name's Trailer. I told you he was the littlest shrimp in the slot machine racket. The repair man. Well, we've never found out who the big shrimp is.
I see. I worm my way into the man's confidence, and then maybe he spills. Is that it? Blows the whole racket apart.
No, no, no. You just help the little guy find his girl.
Betty. Betty, that's her name. I was going to see her tonight.
Betty who, Trevor? What's the rest of her name?
She's beautiful. I'm not, but she is. I'm just her bill, she said. You don't believe in either, do you?
Trailer, can you understand me?
There's nobody in the world to believe. You gotta be careful. You can't trust people. You gotta test them and test them and test them. And then you can't trust them because they're all the same.
What are you talking about, friend? The racket?
I won't tell you anything. I won't. Why should I?
All right, all right. Take it easy.
Ants. Ants is what I'm talking about. Ants.
Huh?
You ever catch ants? Climbing on top of each other higher and higher and higher. Like ants. Did you? They all got to get ahead. I'm down at the bottom and I'm happy. I'm happy.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You're different. You're happy.
Yeah. That's right. That's right.
Who shot you?
Ants. You can test people to see if they're ants, you know. Put honey in front of them. See if they choke themselves. Only, dying's not bad. Why did you ask me? I don't know anything. I'm just... Betty.
Hey, Trailer.
Fine, Betty.
Hey, look, Trailer. Nurse?
Betty.
Guess you can have him back for a while. Itinerant master mechanic, fixes slot machines, drifts around a lot. Riley, I'm willing to bet he doesn't know anything that'll ever help you pry open a big time.
Is that so? Well, just let me show you. Look in here.
Oh, you mean the tall, skinny man over there?
Yeah. Yeah, Wilson, the highest-priced legal beagle in the state.
Waiting to see if anybody offstage needs defending, huh?
That's it. The watchdog. Ever alert. Just in case the police have a squealer who might stop worrying about the girlfriend and climb out of his delirium long enough to sing.
Sing? What's this? What's all this, Lieutenant? Somebody singing?
That's right, Mr. Wilson. Trailer in there tells me you own all the slot machines in this state.
Yes, of course. It's just a sideline, though. Rather a bother, particularly when I don't live in this town.
Here on business, Mr. Wilson?
I beg your pardon.
Mr. Valentine and Miss Brooks.
How do you do?
Charmed. No, I've been retained by a client, Mr. Valentine.
Oh, who's that?
The Black Company. Riley here knows about it.
Oh, yeah, sure, sure. Out-of-town corporation. Manufactures will-o'-the-wisps.
Well, I'm only a lawyer. I'm not familiar.
Oh, the Black Company's quite an outfit, Valentine. Perfectly legal. Only nobody knows who runs it. But do they own the slot machines?
Oh, of course not. No
do
more
they know who they make bank deposits for? Does this bird trailer even know who he works for? Does anybody?
The basis of all good organization, Lieutenant, is the pyramid.
Like a spy system, huh? No one man knows enough to incriminate any of the others.
Then why are you here, Mr. Wilton? Why are you worried about this trailer person?
I haven't really said I even know the man, have I? Or that the company I represent is interested in anything more than employee's indemnity, his accident, and so on.
Spoken like a lawyer. Riley, maybe it is possible that the best of pyramids get a little wobbly once in a while.
Huh?
Maybe it is possible that the reason Trailer in there got shot was that he found out too much about the higher-ups.
Yeah, hold it. Wait a minute. Yeah, hello, Lieutenant Riley.
Oh, I wanted to speak to the nurse about Bill Trailer.
Well, all right. Who's calling?
Well, just the nurse, please. The nurse on duty there.
Well, just a second. Valentine, it's a girl. Now, take it, will you? You're the intern on duty, or anybody.
What's this? Misrepresentation, Lieutenant?
Here, let me have it. Hello?
Nurse?
Well, she'll be here in a second, honey. I'm the receptionist.
Well, I just wanted to find out about a patient. His name is Trailer.
Trailer? Well, wait till I get my cards here. Trailer.
Hurry up, please. Somebody said he was there, but I want to know what happened to him.
Well, we had an appendix case come in this morning.
Oh, just tell me what happened to him. Just... What? You don't handle cases like that in the police ward.
Well, I meant in the other ward. She hung up.
It's all right. We've got the number. Call came from a phone in a bar at 1612 Commercial Lane.
The old Durfee Hill section, huh?
Yeah. It's quite a district. A 50-cent flop house or a $5,000 penthouse. It's what the harness boys call the anthill, Valentine.
The anthill, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, Brooksy.
A million people a day use that phone, my friend. Every third one tries a slug.
But, bartender, all we wanted to
Besides,
know was...
if you whistle, the dame was to get you. Maybe your boyfriend's a prize fighter. Me, I'll take television any day.
The girl used the phone only a few minutes ago. Who was she?
Should I know? Should I watch the cash register and be a bulldog for the phone company at the same time?
All right. You don't know. Or maybe you don't want to know. I suppose you never heard of a guy named Trailer around here, either.
Trailer? No, not until the fight last night.
What fight?
Him and Louie. Who'd you think? Nice guy, that Trailer, I guess. But he'll never amount to much, mixing it up with a guy
Slow down, will you? Slow down. Who's Louie? And what was this fight about?
About a dame, natural, classy blonde, lives up the street, named Betty. Fight ended quick. We threw them both out.
Betty?
Sure. See what I mean about whistling a dame?
You mean this guy Louie's tough? Go on. More about Louie.
Not a price fighter, no, but a real sharp boy, just the same. Working his way up for a good outfit. Nice collections for the Black Company. That slot machine's to you.
Oh, fellow employed, huh? Only Louis higher up in the pile. He makes collections from guys like you.
From me? You're crazy.
Sure. Sure, what's the rest of his name? Louis what?
Ask me no questions, I'll tell you no lies. Good day, friend.
Brooksy, this is where your job begins.
I said I'm sorry, sister. Wrong place. No Betty here. Now beat it, will you?
Hi, lady. Find your party?
Well, no, this gentleman...
Look, what is this? The Census Bureau?
Box of flowers, Mac. Sign here.
What? Oh, look, all of you go someplace.
I haven't got all day. Sign here and don't keep the pen.
All right, all right. Yeah, now clear off.
A dime.
People send you flowers?
Come on in. I don't know where Betty is. What do you want?
Well, just to see her. Betty sings down at the nightclub, I found out. She mentioned to me once about a job, and I thought maybe dancing or selling cigarettes
might...
Oh,
the great unemployed, huh? Look, you gotta be a jerk not to get along in this world, sister. What's the matter? No angles?
Oh, I'm just new in town. Gee, that's a pretty box, isn't it? You gonna open them?
How do you like that? Dated yesterday. Now, there's a florist who's gonna fall right out of business. Betty gets them like that all the time, sister. She knows her way around. Nothing better than the best.
Gee, I met Betty's boyfriend, too, once. Trailer or something.
That's what he told you? Boyfriend. There's a laugh.
Well, sure, he wasn't dressed so good.
Oh, hopeful Harry. She can do better than him any day.
I didn't know. You mean you're the one she... Say, roses.
Look, I'm Betty's brother. My name is Louie.
Oh.
Now, where did you say you met Betty?
Gee, has a girl got to relieve all of her privacy? We was only in the beauty shop. I was seeing about a tent. Well, don't look at me that way. She spoke to me because I complimented her on a corsage she said her boyfriend gave her.
Boyfriend? Look at that, sister. Those aren't just roses. There's a wristwatch wrapped around them, you see?
Holy smoke.
I'm an admirer, see? Guy, she hasn't even met. Told you she was good looking. You ought to hear what they say about her singing. We're going places, her and me.
You don't have to hate my wrist about it.
So go be unemployed. Beat it, will you?
Dear Betty, I look forward to meeting
what?
You.
What's that?
I'm on the level, and I don't mean just opposite your eyes when I say I'm not a masher, and won't you please, please telephone me at Durfee Hills?
Hey, give me that.
Hey, let go. Just a card with the roses, that's all.
Come on, get out of here.
Gosh, I'm not going to try to beat Betty's time or anything.
I'll say you're not.
I never heard that name anyway, Mr. Black or... Black!
Valentine, of course she's all right. You talked to her yourself, did you?
Sure, Brooksy read me the note she'd seen on the flowers, but
why... had a man watching him. After Miss Brooks left that place, this Louis fella took off in the opposite direction like a flying duck. But my man lost him. Now, will you please clear up what you've been doing?
That Durfee Hill number in the flower note. It's a new number, Riley. Private listing and installed only a couple of days ago from somebody from out of town who just rented this place.
What place?
The fanciest penthouse in the whole section. Hey, Riley, people really look like ants from up here.
You mean...
Sure, I'm in the place. There was a loose hinge on the service door and nobody inside.
You've got the loose hinge, my friend. Don't you realize it was a Mr. Black who sent those flowers?
Now, Riley, add two and two, will you? Nobody knows who owns the slot machines, who runs the Black Company. And yet a mysterious Mr. Black shows up in town, a man nobody's seen, not even the janitor downstairs.
Trailer's girl, Betty, she must have seen him.
No, remember, he just wanted to meet her. Probably had seen her at the nightclub or something. But that was Black's mistake if he wanted to stay incognito, giving a girl his telephone number. Because now here I am with $10,000 in my pocket.
But what? What'd you say?
Sure. Must be collection time in the Three Lemon business. About 2 seconds ago, a delivery boy hands me an envelope at the door. Inside was an accounting sheet for all the slot machines on the south side and proceeds for the past month.
Well, I...
Right? I figured out who's the man at the top of the anthill. Don't ask me how long it'll last or why it works this way. But right now, Riley, that man seems to be me.
We'll return to tonight's adventure of George Valentine in just a moment. Anyone who has done a lot of driving in hot desert country knows what happens to car engines there every day. As soon as the ignition is turned off and circulation stops, engine parts get so hot they can literally fry in ordinary oil. But just ask desert motorists how they lick this problem. They'll tell you more people prefer RPM motor oil than any other brand. And here's the reason RPM is first choice where driving's toughest. It's specially compounded to keep a protective oil film on every inch of metal. Even when engine parts get super hot, RPM contains other compounds that prevent carbon formation, that stop corrosion, and keep rings working freely. It's the best engine insurance you can buy. So why not try in your own car the oil that's first choice where driving's toughest? Ask for RPM motor oil at standard stations and independent Chevron gas stations, where they say and mean we take better care of your car. And now back to tonight's adventure of George Valentine. You go to help Lieutenant Riley because there's a man dying in the police hospital who might tell what he knows about the slot machine racket, provided somebody helps him find his girl, Betty. Well, so far you haven't found Betty, though you have discovered that there's someone else in her life. Someone a little more successful than Trailer. A man who calls himself Mr. Black, who owns the slot machines, whose identity is a secret even from his own employees. Only if your name is George Valentine, now it's you who occupy Mr. Black's apartment. It's a dangerous game, and no one realizes that better than Claire Brooks. Down at the police hospital now, she seems unable to help.
I don't know anything. I tell you,
George,
I don't know.
If you could just remember why you and Louie had that fight last night in the bar, was it over Betty?
Betty?
Or is something wrong in the business? In the Black Company?
Find Betty. Just find Betty.
No, of course not, Brooksy. We've gone way past Trailer now. We're in the middle of the ants, the scramblers.
The police have the apartment surrounded now,
well,
George.
Well, tell them to keep out and lay low unless I whistle for help.
But, George...
Angel will never find out who fired those shots into Trailer or who runs this racket unless we ride right along with the gang.
You'll ride yourself right into a funeral notice. Sooner or later, the person who rented that apartment will come back
I
and...
I said, don't worry, will you, Brooksy, as long as I could...
What? Go on, George.
Well, what do you people wash those shirts in anyway? Huh? And that makes either. The collars come back with ground glass on the edge.
George, what's the matter?
Well, just don't use so much starch, that's all. Hello.
I didn't mean to interrupt. The door was open.
All right, then shut it and come in. Now, what is it? What do you want?
Don't get sore, boss. Now, take it easy.
Your name's Louie, isn't it?
Yes, sir. Sure it is. How'd you know?
You fit the description.
Look, I know I'm not supposed to be here. I know I should have just sent the stuff up by messenger the way we always do, wherever the point is each month.
Oh, so that's it, huh? You're a collector.
Durfee Hill and East Side, sir.
You brought some money. All right, let's have it.
Here. The accounting sheet's right on top. I had all those figures in my head. It's a trick I taught myself.
Right, boy.
I know it's not healthy to come up here and find out who you are like this,
relax,
but
relax, will you? Wow.
Yeah, I knew you wouldn't mind when you saw that. It's almost double last month.
$23,500. What did you do? Fix the machine so they pay in bubble gum instead of jackpots?
No, I didn't touch them. But I've been in there giving them the old boost. You know, talking it up with a bartender.
A real climber in the business, aren't you, Louie? Now, what's this really about, Buster? How did you make so much money this month?
Well, the truth of the matter
What happened
is...
to Trailer, the repairman?
I don't know what you mean, happened.
Who shot him?
Boss, listen, he was cheating you. Did you know that, did you? I can prove he was.
He was what?
Hold him out. Jack up the setting on the machines and then split the rake off with bartenders. That's how he did it. You must have heard the same thing from other districts. He floated around all of them, didn't he?
You know, it's getting too complicated for me.
Now, wait a minute. Wait, listen, that's how I build up my total for the month, by catching him at it and stopping it.
Yeah, you earned the Silver Star, all right.
Look, who are you going to call? Listen to the rest of what I got.
Buster, I'm going to see a man about pinning a medal on you.
But I didn't do it. I didn't empty any gun into him.
Everything happens at once.
You want me to get it for you, boy?
No, I'll get it. Go mix yourself a drink or something.
Don't mind if I do. I know who it is anyway.
Huh? This is great. Oh.
Hello. I guess you're the man, huh?
Are you the girl?
Don't be funny. I mean, well, after all the notes you've been sending me with the flowers.
Oh, sure. Come in, Betty.
Thanks. Hey, you live all right, don't you?
I hope to. You know, you're not so easy to find, Betty. I've been wanting to meet you for some time now.
Yeah, I got the idea. Do you always use that whirlwind stuff, flowers and presents on a girl, Mr. whatever your name is, Black?
Hey, slow down. Take your coat off.
Sure. Huh? You wanted to meet me. You saw me in the nightclub and you heard my singing and you wanted to meet me.
Well, now, who wouldn't? You're very beautiful.
Do a girl good to be known she associates with you.
No comment.
Any girl would break her neck to get up here. She'd give her eye teeth to walk up close to you like this.
Hey, what's the matter?
You dirty...
Hey, sis, cut it out. Cut it out, sis.
Let go.
You said you'd be nice. Now stop it, will you? Cut it out.
I don't know what's the matter with the boss. Honest, I
suppose you both be quiet.
She said she was coming up here to see you. She promised you would. You know, I told her what a great guy you
are. I said, shut up, killer.
What?
Now, look, boss, this is my sister. Say, one of the greatest kids
I know, I know. A guy could go places if his sister associated with a big shot like me.
What did you say? You called me...
Betty, you came up here to find out about Trailer, didn't you? To slap my face and ask the big shot which one of his hired hands was responsible for your boyfriend being down there in the hospital. Wasn't that it?
He's not a boyfriend. She's 10 times as good as him. She's only been hanging around a couple of months.
Sure, he's not an eager beaver like you, Buster. He wouldn't try to use his own sister to get him ahead in the world.
Oh, no, they just... thought about it.
In that bar the other night?
Oh, yeah, but that was all.
I told him to stay away, and he got mean.
One at a time,
will you?
Honestly.
You live with the ants. Don't you know what they're like yet? Or was that what you saw in Trailer? That he was a little different from the scramblers?
He was a dope. He was stealing. Holding out.
You want to bet it was you who was holding out from collections, Louie, and he caught you at it?
Boss,
no.
No,
a chance to get rid of two birds with one stone. Get in the boss's good graces and cover your own tracks by being the guy.
You said you didn't see Trailer after that fight.
Well, all I know, Betty, is that your brother said something to me a minute ago about a gun being emptied into Trailer. Well, it so happens he was shot 6 times. Only how could you know about that little specific thing, Louie, unless you were a guy?
Look, everything I've done is for you. It's for the good of the company. I'm looking ahead all the time. See, I want to...
Coffee, Tittin, if you like.
What? Hey, who's that boy? Got a gun.
Shut up. Hello, Mr. Wilton. Party's over, huh?
Yes. Yes, the party's over, I'm afraid, and besides, it's making too much noise.
Next door?
No, I've been in the back of a wardrobe you overlooked.
Oh, sure. Well, I didn't think it could last. It never did make sense that such a careful setup as this apartment wouldn't have...
Wouldn't have me. Yes, me. Surprise.
Yeah. So's Louie. So's Betty.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, who is this guy?
Now, if the three of you would just...
I'll take care of him.
Down that gun, Buster.
Don't worry. He can't get away with anything.
Stand still.
Stop it. You're making a mistake.
Ambitious to the end. Couldn't resist trying to make one last impression on you, could he, Mr. Valentine?
Mr. what?
Yes, Betty. I'm afraid I'm the Mr. Black who's been so anxious to meet you. Yeah, it's too bad. Things couldn't have worked out better for us.
But if you're Mr. Black...
The great organizer.
The best of pyramids totter once in a while. I was here to make my own collections this time. I thought it was about time for a visit to South America. So if you'll just hand over my money...
Why don't you come and get it?
You've caused enough trouble already, Valentine.
Sure, come on, shoot some more people.
I'm warning you.
No!
It's the only way you're going to get out of here.
Valentine,
take that gun!
Well, thanks, Riley. Mr. Slot Machine King, see what the sound of those shots brought you? 3 lemons. And that was it, Trailer. A gun test proved that Louis shot you.
Yeah.
Why? Well, ambition, I guess. Cover his own mistakes, get him good with a big boss. Can you understand me, Trailer? Can you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and all scrambling around. That's all Louis was.
Sure. That's all Wilton is, too. But the girl's different.
I think she'd like to see you, Trailer.
Yeah. Yeah, we found Betty. She's a nice girl.
Yes, I know.
Since when?
What?
I said, since when did you know? I mean that she was the kind of a girl who's a little different. Who might have really meant it when she said she liked an ugly little guy like you.
Mr. Valentine, I'm very tired. I'm very...
Wilton isn't kidding anybody. I just want you to know that I know that, Trailer.
I've begun to guess it.
His biggest mistake was trying to take over the slot machine empire tonight. Like the rest, he couldn't resist the opportunity.
George.
Think back, Angel. Wilton's tall and skinny. Would he have ever written a note to Betty, just an ordinary-sized girl, saying, I'm on the level, and I don't mean just opposite your eyes?
No, of course he wouldn't.
He's only a lawyer. A rat trying to grab what he can off a sinking ship. But Valentine, I had no idea.
I'll say it for you, Trevor. Wilton didn't ever own the slot machines like he claimed he did at the last minute. And he wasn't the Mr. Black in the notes. No, they'd have to be a short man, probably. A little guy.
Yeah. A little guy.
Like maybe a man who'd made such a success out of not trusting anybody that he couldn't believe a girl liked him. He had to test her by making her think a big shot was after her. To see if she'd drop him and run for the honey. He was in town for the collections anyway. And to nose around the way he always did, inspecting the anthill he'd built, while looking like a repairman.
You mean, Trailer here is really Mr. Black?
Yeah, Brooksy. What would you have done, Trailer, if Betty had dropped you and chased after you, Mr. Black, the very way her brother wanted her to?
I would have killed her. No, I wouldn't have. I know,
Buster, it's pretty ironic. You kept your identity so secret, you did so well, that what happened? You got shot by a guy whose only ambition was to get in good with the boss, make a big, fine impression on you. Now you still want to talk to Betty while you can, Mr. Black?
No. She's... Leave her out of our anthill.
George, maybe Trailer really wished that he could be just a repairman.
Oh, there are lots of maybes, Brooksy. Maybe he was sick of himself. Guy who climbed so high must have looked down on a lot of squirming underneath.
But, George, it's all in the way you look at an anthill. It's a city of workers, too, and they help each other. They don't climb over each other's backs or knife each other to get ahead. That's what's so wrong about the whole thing. None of those ideas Trailer had made any sense.
Crime never makes sense, does it, Brooksy? Say, where's my client? Where's Riley? I wonder just how you send a bill to the police department. For services rendered?
Let's pretend you're on a weekend motoring trip. It's a bright, sunny day. Everything's fine, except it's too bright. And the eye strain is terrific. Well, you can easily avoid that discomfort for your eyes. Just stop in tomorrow at an independent Chevron gas station or a Standard station and ask for Polaroid Day Glasses. Ordinary sunglasses merely dim reflected glare, but Polaroid Day Glasses are scientifically made to actually blot out dazzling reflections. The kind of glare that bounces off highways, water, beaches, and snow to hit you in the eyes. These smartly styled glasses are light and comfortable to wear. They have wide-angle coverage, and there's no obstruction of view. You can drive all day through bright weather, and Polaroid Day Glasses will leave your eyes feeling no strain. There's a lot of bright weather ahead, so for your own driving comfort, why not get these glasses right away? Buy them at any Standard station or independent Chevron gas station, where they say, and mean, we take better care of your car. Tonight's adventure of George Valentine has been brought to you by Standard Oil Company of California on behalf of independent Chevron gas stations and Standard stations throughout the West. Robert Bailey is starred as George with Virginia Gregg as Brooksy. Let George Do It is written by David Victor and Jackson Gillis and directed by Don Clark. Wally Mayer appears as Lieutenant Riley. Pat McGeehan was heard as Trailer. Bill Boucher as Wilton. Gene Bates as Betty. Jim Nusser as the bartender. And Anthony Barrett as Louie. The music is composed and presented by Eddie Dunstetter, your announcer, John Heaston. Listen again next week, same time, same station, to Let George Do It. This is the Mutual Don Lee Broadcasting System.
From Let George Do It, we'll transition straight over to another detective. This time it's Nick Carter, and Shakespeare's Ghost from 1945.
The Linux Show, starring Nick Carter, Master Detective. This is the story of a man known the world over as one of the most daring and resourceful characters in the history of detective fiction. A man whose name has become a symbol of the triumph of right and justice over the sinister forces of crime and lawlessness. Nick Carter, Master Detective. Today's exciting case, Shakespeare's Ghost, in which Nick Carter tracks a disappearing corpse and a ghost is accused of murder. Nick Carter is brought to you each week by the three great Linux home brighteners. Linux cream polish, Linux clear gloss, and Linux self-polishing wax. You know, there's no time like New Year's for making good resolutions. And ladies, one of the best resolutions you can make for 1946 is that you'll keep your floors sparkling bright and beautiful with Linux self-polishing wax, the anti-skid wax finish that beautifies your floors without making them slippery. Your folks are sure to appreciate the added skid resistance Linux self-polishing wax gives, and how proud you'll be of the satiny, lustrous appearance it lends all your floors and linoleum. Depend on Linux self-polishing wax, the modern way to new floor beauty. Ask your dealer for it by name. Linux self-polishing wax, the anti-skid floor finish that wipes on in a jiffy, dries without tiresome rubbing. You'll find Linux self-polishing wax at your nearest hardware, paint, or department store. And now for today's exciting case from the life of Nick Carter. As we look in on the old brownstone mansion at the corner of 4th and 5th, Nick is clearing up the files on his desk as Patsy answers the door.
Let's see. Lexus Fenton, convicted of arson, 15 years. Harry North.
Gentlemen, see you.
Mr. Carter, my name is J.T. Reed. But I don't suppose that means anything to you.
Not unless you're the J.T. Reed who bought the original letters of John Keats, the poet, at the Gibson Auction Galleries on March 15th, 1920.
Why, that's amazing. Absolutely right, even to the day of the month. How in the world did you know that, Mr. Carter?
Oh, I've always been interested in literary memorabilia. And an important sale like that stuck in my mind, that's all.
I see. Well, as you may surmise, I have quite a collection of rare books and manuscripts. Now, last week, a Mr. Rodney Stone called at my country home. He was a fully accredited representative of Latchford and Blake.
The English firm of rare book dealers?
Correct. And as their American representative, he offered to sell me a copy of the Gutenberg Bible. Mm-hmm. But as all my capital is invested in books, I told Mr. Stone that at present I was more interested in selling some books than in buying.
And he offered to sell some for you?
Yes. His credentials were so good, I gave him my first folio Shakespeare and a few other items. Mm. He signed a receipt for them and took them to his hotel here in town.
Well, Mr. Reed, you wouldn't be here unless something had gone wrong. What is it?
Well, just to make sure, I checked Stone's hotel and he was registered there. But then I sent a cable to his London office to confirm the details. And this, Mr. Carter, is the answer I just received.
Mm-hmm. We have no American representative named Rodney Stone. His credentials obviously forged. I suggest you contact Nick Carter immediately to investigate this fraud. That's Ford and Blake, London.
I took their advice, Mr. Carter, and came here at once.
Yes, I've handled two or three cases for them. Have you been to Stone's hotel?
Well, I thought I'd better see you first. I phoned, however. He's still registered there.
Well, it's probably a fairly amateur swindle case, but I don't like to disappoint people who cable a recommendation 3,000 miles.
Then you'll go with me to see Stone?
Yes, and there's another reason, too, Mr. Reed. I've always had a soft spot for Shakespeare. Come on. Let's go rescue old Master Will from the clutches of a rather clumsy con man.
You say it was the first complete edition of Shakespeare's plays, Mr. Reed? Why, It must be 300 years old.
322 to be exact, Patsy.
Wow.
Folios were printed in 1623.
And my copy is of special interest. The flyleaf is signed by Ben Jonson, Shakespeare's friend and fellow poet.
A Jonson copy? Wow.
Yes. Oh, there's a legend about that copy. Very foolish, I suppose, but...
Yes, I know the legend.
Well, what is it, Nick?
Three times in three centuries that copy has been stolen. And each time the thief has been found later with his head cut off.
Oh, slightly grisly, what?
The legend is that Shakespeare's ghost comes back and slays the thief for meddling with his friend Johnson's copy.
And that's the copy that this man Stone has stolen?
Yes, Miss Bowen.
And if this legend is true, then his head...
Oh, nonsense. Just a silly story, Betsy.
Yes? Well, if you think it's a silly story, why have you stepped on the gas? Still no answer.
I'll try it.
Never mind. I'll open the door.
But how?
I always carry skeleton keys. There. Let's go in.
Nick.
Great heavens.
Inside, quickly, both of you. Shut the door.
That man on the floor. His head. Just like the legend.
I suppose that's Rodney Stone, Mr. Reed?
It was. Oh, poor chap.
Well, just look at this room. There must have been a terrific struggle.
Yes. Furniture overturned, blood all over, clothes almost ripped from the body.
Oh, what a battle he must have put up to save himself.
Well, one thing's certain. Our simple case of fraud has certainly become a lot more serious.
The bedroom door's open. I'll go in and see whether there's anything in there.
Are you going to examine the body, Nick?
In a moment, Patsy. First, I want to get an all-over picture of the room from here.
Uh-huh.
I often tell a lot just from standing in one spot, getting kind of a perspective on the crime. For instance, the position of the body... Location of the bloodstains. And the way the clothes are ripped. Yes.
It looks as if the ghost of Shakespeare is struck again.
Mr. Carter, come in here, quick.
Right with you.
Look what I found on the windowsill here, Mr. Carter.
Don't touch it. Let me see.
A sword. A bloodstained sword.
Yes. 16th century claymore.
A 16th century sword? The thief's head cut off? Why, it all fits.
Well, Mr. Carter... What do you think of the legend of Shakespeare's ghost now?
Find any clues, Nick?
No. Bring me a pillowcase from that bed, will you, Patsy? I want to wrap up this sword.
Yes, Nick.
How do you explain it, Mr. Carter?
I don't yet. This is the 23rd floor. That door was locked from the inside. There's no fire escape or balcony outside these windows.
Here's a pillowcase, Nick.
Thanks. Now, gently. That's it.
Well, it's a good thing we're all intelligent adults, because it certainly looks like the work of a ghost.
That's one of the things that bothers me, Mr. Reed. It looks too much like ghosts. I think I'll go back and give the body a closer examination for it.
What is it, Nick? What's wrong?
Look, Patsy.
Where's the body? It's disappeared. Vanished.
Hand me that microscope slide, Betsy.
Here you are. Nick, why didn't you investigate the other rooms on the 23rd floor of that hotel when we found no one had been seen leaving the floor since we came up?
You can't search people's rooms without their permission or a warrant. Besides, there's more than one way to skin a cat.
And catch a murderer?
Right. Now, I just want to check the blood cell structure from the stains on the sword.
Well, how can you tell whether it was Stone's blood?
Can't, but I can be sure it's human blood. Evidence can be framed, you know.
Uh-huh. Well, how about it?
Yeah, human blood, all right. Been on that sword about 7 hours, which means about 6 hours before we found it.
What does that prove?
Could prove or disprove a great deal. That's going to steal punch, will you?
Sure.
I just want to take a small chip off this sword. There. Obviously, hand forged. Now I'll smelt down this little piece over a high heat flame.
Here's a crucible.
Thanks. Now, Patsy, while you're waiting for that steel chip to melt, we should look up J.T. Reed in our file.
All right, Nick. You sure we've got him listed?
He ought to be there.
Here's his card. Joseph T. Reed. Chief interest, books, manuscripts, and curios, and... Mm-hmm. Oh, quite a patriotic citizen, too. Did a lot of volunteer war work.
He did, huh?
Uh-huh.
Very interesting. Let me see that.
Oh, there's a signal on the heat gauge, Nick. The steel's melted.
Better tend to that first.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just add this catalyst. Just as I thought.
What's the matter, Nick? Was the sword a modern fake?
On the contrary, Patsy, the chemicals used in its manufacture prove almost conclusively that it's authentic Elizabethan. Now let me see Reed's bio card.
Here you are. Nick, why were you so anxious to prove the sword is genuine?
Because it shows someone is trying to throw suspicion. Great Scott.
What is it, Nick? What do you see on the card?
Patsy, send a wire to J.T. Reed. Tell him we're coming out to report to him tonight.
Well, that's more like it. A little action.
If Reed can tell us what we need to know, we may crack this case tonight.
Oh, tell me what's on your mind, Nick, please.
I can tell you two things, Patsy. First, there was more than one criminal involved.
There was?
And second, they're among the most cunning and cold-blooded men I've ever met.
You haven't met them yet.
Well, we may tonight. Hand me my Colt automatic. And then we're on our way.
Well, a swindler murdered like other men before him who stole the same rare book. The legend of Shakespeare's ghost brought to life as a genuine Elizabethan sword is found in the room. Then the body disappears. Where will this mysterious trail of bloodshed and theft lead, Nick? We'll see in just a moment. What happened last time you waxed your floor? Did hubby grumble because the floors were slippery? Did the youngsters use that fresh new wax job for a skating rink? Not if you used Linex self-polishing wax. For Linex self-polishing wax cuts down the slipperiness of your floors and at the same time gives that satiny beauty only real wax can give. Yes, it's true. The underwriters' laboratories have proved by test that hardwood, linoleum, and rubber tile all are less slippery after Linex self-polishing wax has been applied. Yet your floors and linoleum will look more beautiful than ever before when you use Linex self-polishing wax. And you'll find it easier to keep them clean, too, for Linex self-polishing wax gives a finish that lasts longer, so that you just whisk a damp cloth over the surface to keep them spick and span. What's more, Linex self-polishing wax wipes on in a jiffy and dries quickly without tiresome rubbing. So, in every way, it's the wise choice for wise homemakers. Get Linex self-polishing wax now. It's the modern anti-skid floor finish. Get all the great Linex home brighteners for new home beauty the whole year round. And now back to our story. Nick and Patsy are investigating a strange murder, a vanishing corpse, and the disappearance of a copy of a first folio Shakespeare. The entire crime seems to be linked to a legend about Shakespeare's ghost. They are now in a small suburban railway station waiting for their client, J.T. Reed.
Nick, what do you suppose is keeping Mr. Reed?
Oh, station master.
Yep?
Are you sure Mr. Reed got the wire we sent this afternoon?
Of course I'm sure. This here depot's the telegraph office, too. Got your wire saying you was arriving on the 7:12 and sent it right up to Mr. Reed.
Can't imagine why he isn't here. It's almost 7:30.
Well, anyway, Nick, we had a cozy place to wait during the shower. It was short, but awfully wet.
I'm not interested in waiting anywhere cozily. I want to get going.
Well, if he's supposed to be here, he will be. Real fine man, Mr. Reed. Humbric spirited. Works on bond drives. He even served as a volunteer up to the county hospital.
Well, here's a car now. It's Mr. Reed, Nick.
Let's go, then. Thanks for your hospitality, station master.
You're welcome.
Oh, Miss Bora, Mr. Carter. I'm dreadfully sorry I'm late.
Oh, that's all right, Mr. Reed.
Suppose our wire surprised you.
No, no, it wasn't that. I had trouble starting my car. Couldn't even get it out of the garage till 10 minutes ago.
Oh, no?
Right this way. No. My butler Evans insisted on helping me. Every time I thought the motor was ready to run, he'd reach in under the hood to adjust something, and bang, it would stall again.
Well, let's hope it won't stall on the way back. I'm rather anxious to see your place and your butler.
Mr. Carter, I do hope you can get my beautiful books back for me.
I'll do my best, Mr. Reed.
Oh, by the way, were they insured?
Oh, yes, yes, thank heaven. But I want my books back. Mr. Carter, shouldn't we notify the police?
No, Mr. Reed. You can't make a murder charge stick without a corpse.
But I saw it. I could testify that
no,
I...
No corpse, no case.
Oh, well, just around the next turn and we're home. Ah, there it is.
Oh, what a lovely place. Isn't it, Nick?
Yes, indeed. Charming place.
The whole scene is so nice. Smoke curling from the chimney. Oh, that's funny.
What is, Miss Bowen?
Smoke curling from the chimney on a warm summer night.
Oh, that's the hot water heater.
Really? An awful lot of smoke for one of those things, isn't it?
Oh, yes, yes, it's a nuisance. We have to burn soft coal, all we can get right now.
Who tends the boiler, Mr. Reed?
Why, Evans the butler, even though he considers it a little beneath his dignity. Why do you ask?
Oh, no particular reason. Just curious.
I'll leave the car here in case we want it later.
Let me help you, Patsy.
Thanks.
Good evening.
Oh, good evening, Evans. Come on in, both of you.
Thank you.
Evans, this is Miss Bowen and Mr. Carter. They'll be staying the night.
Very good, sir. Mr. Carter, the detective, may I ask?
Yes, why?
Nothing, sir. Nothing at all.
Would you care to wash up, either of you?
Oh, no, thanks. I freshened up on the train.
I'd like to wash, please.
Oh, but Nick, you...
I know, Patsy.
Yeah, I'll take you upstairs.
Thank you.
Meanwhile, Evans, will you show Miss Bowen into the library?
The library, sir?
Yes, the library.
Perhaps Miss Bowen would like to see the garden. The hollyhocks are quite lovely now, and there's still enough light...
I'll look at the garden in the morning, if I may.
Oh, certainly. Show Miss Bowen to the library, Evans.
Yes, sir. Very well, sir. The library. This way, please.
What a collection of books. First edition, Paradise Lost. David Copperfield in the original part.
Big pardon, miss.
Oh, Evans, you surprised me. I didn't hear you come in.
Sorry to startle you, miss. Thought you might like some tea.
Thank you. And Evans, could we have a little more light in here?
Why?
You've only this one lamp on. The whole other half of the room is dark. Makes it gloomy.
I don't think it's gloomy, miss.
I do. May we have a little more light, please?
Very good, miss.
Look at that other wall.
Yes, miss.
Why, it's covered with armor, swords and things.
Yes, miss.
Very interesting.
If you need anything, you will please ring, miss.
Thank you. Let's see. I think I'll take a look. Suit of armor, time of Henry II. Foil in target, 14th century. Crossbow.
Quiet, Patsy. Quiet.
Oh, Nick, it's you. I thought... Well, never mind.
Come along. We've got work to do.
Oh, but Nick, look here at the collection of armor and swords.
So I see. Pretty good collection of British battle swords, too.
Look here, Nick. See this?
Oh, yes. One sword missing.
And the label says it was a 16th century claymore.
True enough, Patsy. Good for you.
Nick, that butler...
Save it for now, Patsy. Come on. We've got work to do.
Where are we going?
Out through the French windows, into the garden.
Whatever for?
To see the hollyhocks and other things. Come on.
The hollyhocks are beautiful, Nick. But what do we want with flowers at a time like this?
You'll see in a minute.
You know, Nick, I just realized why you were so excited when you saw Mr. Reed's file card. You knew that curios meant swords and armor, didn't you?
Oh, did I?
Oh, I knew there was some reason why that butler was so anxious to keep me out of the library. He didn't want us to notice that sword was missing.
Maybe so.
We ought to nab him quickly, Nick. He'll make a getaway.
Not just yet, he won't. Over here, Patsy.
Hmm?
I found what I came out for.
A door. A door to the house. Oh, but why come out here to find a door going back into the house?
Unless I'm much mistaken, this is a door to the cellar.
Oh, the cellar.
Locked, of course. Well, a curious keyhole. Now, my pick lock was made for just such unusual locks. So let's see.
Well, what do we want in the cellar, Nick?
Patsy, when we arrived, you noticed smoke pouring from the chimney. Reed said it was the hot water heater.
Yes.
Well, I made a point of going up to wash my hands. The water in the hot faucet was only lukewarm. With all the smoke we saw, that water should have been boiling hot.
I see. That means...
that it's not the hot water boiler that's burning. Something else is burning in the cellar.
Oh.
Or being burned. There. Thought that would do it. Now. Wait till I turn on my flashlight.
Uh-huh.
All right. Down those steps. Easy.
Right. It's hot down here.
Yes. And a big fire going in that furnace. You can see it's still glowing over there.
Nick, that smell. It's like...
You're right, Patsy. Afraid that's just what it is. Wait. Take this slice bar and open the furnace door.
Oh, Nick.
Just as I thought.
Look, there's a toe of a shoe left.
Yes. Unquestionably, one of the shoes we saw on the body of Rodney Stone.
Oh, Nick, shut the door, please.
Right.
It all fits together, Nick. That butler. He probably overheard everything about Stone in the first folio of Shakespeare. Then stole the sword. Then followed Stone to the hotel and killed him.
Hmm.
And Nick, remember? When Reed came to the station, he said he was delayed because Evans kept stalling the car.
Yeah.
And Evans has charge of this fella. And he thought he'd have time to burn the body. But our wire surprised him. He kept delaying Reed so we wouldn't get here too soon.
Certainly hangs together, Patsy, but you...
Oh, someone's coming.
Wait, Patsy, behind this bin, hurry.
Okay. Nick, it's Evans.
Quiet. Well, Evans, just keeping the home fires burning?
Mr. Cutter.
Drop that poker, Evans.
But, Mr. Cutter...
Drop it, I said.
All right.
Have all the cold... blooded fiendish killers.
But you're dead to rights, Evans. Now you're going to tell us where you've hidden those books.
No, I...
Stay where you are. I've got a gun.
So have I.
Mr. Reed.
I've got the drop on you, Carter. Let go of your pistol.
Very well.
Now, kick it over here. Good. I congratulate you, Carter. You're cleverer than I thought. But from now on, things will go my way.
And what way is that?
I'll turn Miss Bowen over to my associates, whom you haven't met. They'll take excellent care of her. And then tomorrow, you and I will visit the police and the insurance company. And if you don't testify as I wish, Miss Bowen will...
Oh, Nick.
You see, I don't want the books back. I want the insurance. It's a great deal more than the present market value of those books. And you're too clever. You really might find those books.
You're darned right he would. Nick Carter can find...
Look, on the wall behind you. The shadow of a bearded man. Shakespeare's ghost.
Yeah, what? Why?
Doc Patsy.
Right.
Oh.
Now, Mr. Reed, I have the drop on you.
Well...
You smart boys are always fooled by the simplest tricks. The furnace door was open. And by manipulating my fingers behind my back, I cast the shadow of a bearded man on that wall behind you.
Oh, thank you, Nick. I wouldn't have liked to meet Shakespeare's ghost. I think I'm much more attractive with my head on.
Now, Reed, I'm sure you won't be too reluctant about naming your accomplice, because you won't want to go to jail for both of you. Then we'll turn over to the police two of the most cold-blooded thieves I've ever met.
Thieves? You mean murderers?
No, Patsy, they aren't guilty of that. They couldn't have murdered Rodney Stone because Rodney Stone never lived.
In just a moment, Nick will be back to give you the final details of today's adventure and tell you how he followed the mysterious trail of Shakespeare's ghost. Fingerprints and dust smudges can spoil the appearance of the finest furniture, as every housewife knows. Help your fine furniture to look its best always with Linex Cream Polish, the polish which dries hard with no oily surface film to attract those ugly smudges and finger marks. You'll find Linex Cream Polish, all the great Linex home brighteners, at hardware, paint, and department stores everywhere. And remember that your dealer is headquarters also for Chemtone, the miracle wall finish that has brought sparkling new beauty to 20 million rooms in American homes. Chemtone covers in one coat, dries in 1 hour. And now let's hear from Nick Carter himself.
You see, Patsy, there never was such a man as Rodney Stone. It was all a scheme that Reed and his accomplice cooked up to collect the insurance on those books. You see, Reed's file card told me he'd been a volunteer worker at the county hospital. That's what excited me, because that meant he had access to the hospital morgue and the blood bank.
You mean they stole a corpse?
Right. Some poor, nameless pauper, probably.
Oh.
And they also took a couple of pints of blood from the blood bank. His accomplice took the body and the blood to the hotel in a trunk, hired two suites, and set the scene we saw in one of them. Meanwhile, Reed had sent his cable to London, knowing full well the answer he'd get.
But why did he want you in on it?
He needed a reputable witness to the murder and the theft. And then as soon as I had seen it, they had to get rid of the body at once to avoid a checkup.
Oh, but how did the body disappear?
The accomplice was hiding in a closet. When Reed called us into the bedroom to see the sword he'd planted there, his pal slipped out and took the body into the suite next door.
Oh.
He put it in a trunk, and as soon as we left, brought it back to Reed's house so Reed could burn it up.
I thought Evans was the guilty one.
No, Patsy, I was convinced Reed was lying when he met us at the station. He said he'd started only 10 minutes before, yet his car was wet.
I remember, the sudden summer shower.
Right, the rain had stopped 15 minutes before, which meant that Reed himself had delayed along the road in the shower so that cremation would be over before we got back to the house.
Yeah, but Nick, when we were in the cellar, it was Evans who came down to see if the body were consumed.
Patsy, Evans told me that he knew nothing of the swindle Reed had planned until he accidentally found him putting the body in the furnace. And then, having been with Reed's family for years, he loyally did what he could to help him out.
Oh. Nick, why didn't you try to trace the body when it disappeared?
Because I had a strong hunch that there was something phony about the murder, and I felt sure I could catch the crooks another way.
Looked awfully real to me with all that blood around.
That was one reason why I suspected his genuineness. If the man had been killed as we were led to believe he had, he would have dropped on the spot, and there'd have been no blood in the far corners of the room. Oh, Patsy, there was too much blood in too many places.
Why, of course.
What's more, the body was too dramatically arranged. Murdered people usually sprawl in almost ludicrous and unbelievable positions. But the clincher, Patsy, was the corpse's elbow.
Nick, what could you tell from an elbow?
Patsy, you recall that the blood analysis showed the blood was at least 6 hours old?
Uh-huh.
Well, when a body lies as long as 6 hours in one position, immediately after death, gravity causes the blood to settle into the parts of the body touching whatever it's resting upon. As a result, the skin becomes purplish at that point. Well, the corpse's bare elbow was touching the floor, yet there was no sign of any purple color, which meant something was not as it should be.
Well, well. Work for Nick Carter and learn while you earn, I always say.
And so do I. What's next week's adventure going to be, Nick?
Well, Ken, next week I have a rather unusual story for you. A man came to my office and told me he had just killed a man.
Well, that's odd. I suppose he came to give himself up.
Oh, no. He came to ask Nick to find the body of the man he just killed.
Well, we found it all right. But it took a black mirror and a pinched bar to find the killer.
Well, I thought you said he confessed.
He did. And that's what makes the story.
I give up. What do you call the story?
I call it The Case of the Wandering Corpse.
Nick Carter, Master Detective, produced and directed by Jock McGregor, is copyrighted by Street & Smith Publications, Incorporated. Lon Clark is starred as Nick, with Charlotte Manson as Patsy. Script is by Stanley Kaufman. Original music is played by George Wright. The programs are fictional, and any resemblance therein to actual persons living or dead is purely coincidental. Nick Carter, Master Detective, is presented at this time and over these same stations each week by the three great Linex home brighteners. Linex Clear Gloss, Linex Cream Polish, and Linex Self-Polishing Wax. Now the makers of the great Linex Home Brighteners take this opportunity to send you their most cordial good wishes for a bright new year, filled with contentment, prosperity, and the realization of every personal ambition. May 1946 be the best year you've ever known. This is Ken Powell speaking for the thousands of Linex dealers all over America and saying so long until next week. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
And this is the Radio Theater Channel's weekly download, where you can hear all the great old-time radio that we present every week. And a reminder that we present it all the time at oldtimeradiolisten.com, and you can listen to our live stream there. So check it out, oldtimeradiolisten.com. Well, after an hour of detectives, it's time for a few laughs, and the laughs are this time are going to be provided by Mel Blanc, and he imitates actors, and the program is from November 12th of 1946.
Hollywood, Colgate Tooth Powder for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle presents The Mel Blanc Show with Mary Jane Croft, Joe Kearns, Hans Conried, Earl Ross, the sportsman, Victor Miller and his orchestra, and Mel Blanc, the creator of Bugs Bunny.
What's up, Doc?
Playing his new character, Zookie.
Hello, everybody. Hi.
And starring himself in person, Mel Blanc.
Good evening, folks.
Well, it's Saturday afternoon in Mel Blanc's little town, and Mel and his girl Betty, like most romantic young couples, are enjoying the movie matinee at the Bijou. Now the show is over, and in some dark spot of the theater, we hear Mary Jones saying to her boyfriend,
"We have to go now, Frank. Take your arm away."
And in the back row, we hear Susan Arnold saying to her boyfriend,
"All right, Henry, the lights are up. Wipe that lipstick off your face."
At another dimly lit corner of the theater where Mel has been sitting with Betty, we hear Betty saying,
"Oh, Mel, the picture's over. Wake up."
So now we find Betty and Mel, having left the theater, walking homeward, and Mel, still under the influence of what he has just seen, is enacting a portion of the picture.
"I want you, Ingrid. I'm going to take you in my arms and hug you and squeeze you and crush you tighter and tighter, tighter."
"Mel, get away from that lamppost."
"Gosh, if only I were an actor. The salaries those guys make. Clark Gable, Robert Taylor, Gary Cooper. I'll bet some of them make as high as $50, $60 a week."
Darling, they make at least $1,000 a week.
$1,000 a week? Oh, Betty, if I made that much, we could live like kings. Eat the best. Every night, chow mein.
Don't be silly.
Oh, you think I can't be an actor, huh? Look at that picture we just saw, Cloak and Dagger.
Oh, wasn't Gary Cooper wonderful?
Gary Cooper, Gary Cooper, Gary Cooper. I'll bet if his name was Sam Cooper, you wouldn't be so excited. What does Gary Cooper do, anyway? The girl says to him, "Gary, do you love me? Will you take me away with you? Will you marry me?" And Gary just stands there and says, "Yep." Then the minister says, "Do you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?" And Gary says, "Yep." What a life. $25,000 a yep.
Oh, Mel, now stop showing off and stop dreaming about being an actor.
Well, an actor makes a lot of money. And I'll bet your father would have more respect for me if I had a lot of money.
But that's where you're wrong, darling. Just be yourself. Let father respect you for your...
You see, I gotta have money.
Oh, no, Mel. No, you're all wrong. I know father's beginning to like you, especially since you voted him into your lodge. In fact, he may even announce our engagement tonight.
Oh, Betty, what a feeling.
Isn't it wonderful, Mel?
Yeah. Like the time we had a strawberry soda and drank it with two straws.
Yeah.
And then we got reckless and threw one straw away. Well, here we are, Betty.
Yeah, here we are.
Gosh, it was a nice afternoon.
Yeah, sure was.
Well, thanks for walking me home, Betty.
So long, Mel.
So long. Gosh, I think I missed my chance. When she puckered up her lips, I bet I could have kissed her. Gosh, Betty sure is nice. I can just see Betty and me married, sharing this fix-it shop. How happy we'll be, Mr. and Mrs. Mel Blanc. Then in a year or two, we'll have some little blanks. A little boy blank and a little girl blankhead.
Hello, Mel.
Oh, hello, Mrs. Adams. What can I do for you?
Mel, I came over to ask you for a special favor. Will you mind my baby?
You mean little Julius here? Well, gosh, Mrs. Adams, this is a fix-it shop. If there's something wrong with a baby, I'll gladly fix him.
Oh, Mel.
Oh, but I never took care of a baby before. Well, look, what if, well, suppose...
You mean, he,
Yeah.
Well, that's what these are for.
Oh, fine. That's what I'll need. Bibs.
Well, I'll be back in a few hours, Mel. Don't let anything happen to little Julius.
I won't. Oh, look, he likes me. He's opening his mouth.
Oh, he's putting his little hands around your neck.
Oh, tell him to stop squeezing.
Oh, Mel, he's only a year old.
That kid's a killer.
Well, I've got to go now. Take good care of Julius. Goodbye.
Oh, goodbye, Mrs. Adams. Gee, what a cute little baby. I love babies. They're almost human. Although this one looks a little silly. Oh. Gee, he must have heard me. Oh, the baby's lonesome for company. Maybe he wants to talk to another baby. Here. Hold the monkey wrench in your hand. That's what you get for being nice to babies. Well, Julius, I have to put you down back here. Here comes Mr. Cushing, my lodge president.
Hello, Mel. Ugga-ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Greetings, mighty potentate. Ugga-ugga-boo-ugga-boo-boo-ugga. I hope you don't mind me saying so, mighty potentate, but you look a little unhappy.
Well, I'm having a little domestic trouble, Mel.
The maid?
No, the maid's all right. I can't stand my wife. You know, I'd leave her in a minute. I'd leave her in a minute if she didn't have all that money. I don't know why I'm standing here telling you all this. It's... Doesn't I've got no one to talk to.
Well, I think Betty and I are going to hit it off very well together, Mr. Cushing.
Mel, Betty's a fine girl. But I can only say what I say to every couple about to be married. Stop!
Oh, but Mr. Cushing, not my Betty.
Well, go ahead, Mel. But you'll learn that before marriage, everything's wonderful. You're happy. You're in clover.
And after the marriage?
Poison ivy. Well, Mel, I've got to be on my way now. Of course, you'll be at the lodge meeting tonight, won't you?
Oh, gosh, mighty potentate, I can't make it.
What? Every loyal zebra should be there, and especially you, inasmuch as it was your vote that got Mr. Colby into the lodge, and we're initiating him tonight.
But, Mr. Cushing, I can't go. I promised to mind Mrs. Adams' baby.
I don't care if you promise to mind Mrs. Adams. Now, you'll be there. Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga.
Ugga-ugga-boo, ugga-boo-boo-ugga. But I still don't think I can be there.
No, you better be there if you know which side your ugga is buttered on.
Oh, this is terrible. I'm supposed to go to the lodge. I'm going to mind Julius. Mr. Colby's going to announce my engagement. I wonder what Gary Cooper would say in a spot like this. I know. Yep.
Use Colgate tooth powder. Keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
A breath of trouble, I've been told, can make a love affair grow cold. So don't let any breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, spoil your chance of romance. You'll be wise to do this. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate tooth powder. For Colgate tooth powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate tooth powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate tooth powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate tooth powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
Now, Victor Miller and the Sportsman doing I Feel a Song Coming On. Someone to mind the baby so he can attend the initiation of his future father-in-law, Mr. Colby, at the lodge meeting tonight. Right now, he's exhausted his list of friends. We find him working on Betty's kid brother, Tommy.
But listen, Tommy, you're my friend, aren't you?
Look, Mel, when you mention friendship, you touch me deeply. When you mention old time's sake, you touch me deeply. Now, do you really want to touch me deeply?
Yeah.
Mention money.
That's a fine way to talk to your future brother-in-law.
You call that a future? Hey, Mel, look, here comes your helper, Zuki. Why don't you get him to mind the baby?
Hi, Mel.
Zuki, I've been looking for you all day long. Where have you been?
Well, I was here.
Never mind. Just stay here and take care of Mrs. Adams' baby. I'm going down to the lodge meeting. Come on, Tommy. So long, Zuki.
What happened? Oh, gosh, it's Julie. A baby. Oh, he's sleepy. I'll sing him a lullaby. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the street. Rock-a-bye, baby, on the street. I better get down off this tree. what a nice baby. Thanks. Gee, I like babies. They touch a soft spot in my... Hello, Mr. Colby.
Hello, Zuki. Where's Mel?
Oh, he went to the lodge meeting a long time ago.
He did? Well, that's odd. I stopped at Doc Brown's house and he'd left too. That's funny they left without me. I wonder why.
Well, if you want to ask my opinion, Mr. Colby...
Yes?
I haven't got any.
Well, frankly, I'm a bit hurt. I was going to tell Mel that he perhaps could announce his engagement to Betty. And he didn't even wait for me.
Well, excuse me, Mr. Colby. I got to get back to the baby.
Yes, I was going to announce the engagement. Baby?
Yeah, I love babies. Especially when they're seventeen years old.
Zuki, whose baby is that?
Well, you see, Mel,
Mel's baby? Mel's been two-timing Betty.
Mr. Colby, don't get excited.
No wonder he didn't wait for me to go to the meeting. Yes, he was afraid to face me.
You got Mel all...
I'm going down there and break every bone in his body.
But... Oh, poor Mel. When Colby gets a hold of him, he'll tear him to pieces. He'll rip him up. He'll break every bone in his... Is there a doctor in the house?
Hello,
call this meeting to order in the name of the Benevolent Order of Lyle Zebras. The members will now rise and give the password.
Ugga, ugga, boo, ugga, boo, boo, ugga.
Boo, 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 boo.
Brother Blank, we have finished saying the password.
Oh, I'm not saying the password. Brother Miller has the hiccups, and I'm trying to scare it out of him.
I see. And now Brother Ross will read the minutes of the last meeting.
Because the lodge hall was closed for repairs, the last meeting was held in the back of Brother Murphy's Bar and Grill. First time in 3 years everyone attended. Brother Colby was voted in. And in celebration of the event, Brother Murphy brought in a round of beers. We quickly dispense with old business. Brother Blank made a resolution to take $100 out of the treasury for the community chest. Resolution was passed. Brother Murphy brought in another round of beers. At this point, mighty potentate Cushing made a resolution to dispose of his wife. It was passed unanimously. And Brother Murphy brought in another round of beer. Brother Miller fell out of the window. A resolution was passed to petition Congress to make Murphy's Bar and Grill a national shrine. Brother Murphy fell out of the window. Another round of beers was passed. The neighbors complained and the meeting was adjourned.
Thank you, Brother Ross. And now, members, as you know, Brother Colby will be initiated tonight. That's why he was invited late. We will give him the husband and wife initiation, which we used on Doc Brown. Brother Blank, we call upon you to initiate Mr. Colby.
Me? Oh, I can't do it. Mr. Colby is just about to announce my engagement to his daughter. And if I give him the husband and wife initiation, he's liable to call the whole thing off.
Oh, Brother Blank, you've always bragged about being an actor. This is your chance.
Well, yeah. Say, that's a good idea. And besides, he's made my life plenty miserable. This is my chance to get even with him.
Shh, he's coming up the steps, and he's raving mad.
Uh-oh, give me that wig and that dress. I'm really going to give it to him.
Now, everybody out. Dim the lights, dim the lights. Go out there and make it good, Mel.
Okay.
Mel Blank when I get my hands on...
Oh, gosh, it's dark in here. Well, what's happening? Where is everybody? There's nobody here.
Nobody but little old me and big fat you.
Well, there's supposed to be a meeting of the zebras here. And...
Well, if you're looking for a zebra, you don't want me. I'll just run along.
Oh, no. No, don't do that. Stay a while. What's your name?
Lulabelle Feigenspanhold.
Lulabelle, what a beautiful name.
Y'all can call me Miss Feigenspanhold. Golly, I just get goosebumpy all over being all alone with a big, handsome man like you.
Did you say handsome?
That's what I said. I said handsome. Handsome, that is. You northern boys are so strong. Do you all mind if I feel your muscles? My, you got real Yankee muscles. Way up north. All around your head. Mind if I call you Musclehead?
A girl like you can call me anything.
Oh, I'll bet if you ever took me in your arms, you could crush me to a pulp.
Lulabelle, if I ever took you all in my arms, I wouldn't waste time a-crushing you.
No? What would you do?
I'd kiss you.
Well... You can kiss me if you catch me.
Well, here I go. Oh!
There you went.
Lulabelle, you tripped me.
Oh, no, I didn't. I kicked you.
Now, come here, Lulabelle. I was just trying to show you some northern hospitality.
Well, you ain't gonna get any southern comfort from me. Oh, well, pardon me. I gotta leave the room a moment. You wait right here.
Here, Mel, change into these clothes, quick. You're terrific. When Colby tried to kiss you, we thought we'd die.
Yeah, it made me sick, too.
Okay, go on in now. Here's the shotgun.
Yeah.
Is that you, Lulabelle? Well, come in.
Aha! You thought you'd get away, you all, huh?
What?
You've been a-trifling with the affections of my wife, Lula Belle Feigenspan Holes.
Your wife?
Oh, what a ghastly mistake. How dare you call my wife a ghastly mistake? I'm going to take this gun and blow your brains out.
Please, please, Mr. Feigenspan Holsen. Don't shoot me. I'm a good citizen. I work hard. I support a family. I pay my taxes. And when election time comes around, I go to the polls and vote.
Oh, a Republican. That's a last straw. I'm going to fill you so full of holes, you're going to look like cream cheese.
Don't you mean Swiss cheese?
No, I changed my mind. I'm going to beat you to a pulp. So if you have anything further to say...
What do you mean I can't come in? I'm coming in anyway. Where's Mel Blanc? Zuki, I don't see Mel Blanc anywhere.
Oh, that's him over there, Mrs. Adams, with a gun in his hand.
What? You're Mel Blanc? Why, I'll tear you limb from limb.
Now, don't get excited, Musclehead. I mean, Mr. Colby.
I have never been so humiliated. Hey, what is this? What's going on around
here?
Well,
we just initiated you, Brother Colby, and you're passed with flying colors.
Well, anyway, Mel Blanc, I've got my own score to settle with you. You, the father of this child. Why, I'll annihilate you.
What? Mel, the father of this child? Julius, did you hear what that man said?
There you see, Mr. Colby.
Well, Mel, my boy, I'm sorry. Oh, I see. It's just been a big joke, that's all, huh?
Well, maybe it's funny to you, but Mel Blanc, you left my child with Zuki all night, and now look what happened.
What?
Listen to Julius.
We'll be back in just a minute.
Use Colgate toothpowder, keep smiling just right. Use it each morning and use it each night. Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate toothpowder.
A breath of trouble, I mean unpleasing breath, can lose you friends and alienate people. So ask yourself if you could have this social handicap. Best thing to do is to guard against it. Brush your teeth night and morning and before every date with Colgate Tooth Powder. For Colgate Tooth Powder cleans your breath as it cleans your teeth. Yes, scientific tests have definitely proved that in 7 cases out of 10, Colgate Tooth Powder instantly stops unpleasing breath that originates in the mouth. What's more, no dentifrice at any price cleans your teeth more quickly and thoroughly than Colgate Tooth Powder. Remember to buy it first thing. And remember the name Colgate Tooth Powder with the accent on powder.
Don't take a chance with your romance. Use Colgate tooth powder.
And this is Mel Blanc saying thanks for listening. Good night and...
That's all, folks.
This is Bud Easton reminding you that Colgate Tooth Powder, for a breath that's sweet and teeth that sparkle, brings you the Mel Blanc Show every Tuesday at this time. Be sure to join us again next Tuesday night for more fun with Mel and the people you'll meet in Mel Blanc's Fix-It Shop.
Say hello to Halo Shampoo for naturally bright and beautiful hair. Remember, even finest soaps and soap shampoos hide the natural luster of your hair with dulling soap film. But Halo Shampoo contains no soap, therefore leaves no dulling soap film. Even in hardest water, Halo makes oceans of rich, fragrant lather, quickly banishes loose dandruff and dirt. Halo needs no lemon or vinegar rinse. Say hello to Halo and goodbye to dulling soap film. Get Halo shampoo at any cosmetic counter.
Remember, Mel Blanc every Tuesday night at this time. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Well, that's it. We're all out of time for this week, but we have another 90 minutes all racked up for you next week, so I hope you can join us then. Till then, this is Jim Dolan wishing you a good week.